Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council. It's December 1st, 2020 at 7 p.m. Would all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all for joining us. The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Mr. Cologne?
Present.
Ms. Scramsey Smith?
Present.
Ms. Negron? Mr. Reynolds?
Present.
Dr. Van Wert?
Present.
Mr. Waldron?
Present. And Ms. Negron is with us as well, too, so all of council is here. We're also joined by Mayor Donchez on our go-to meeting as well, so he's here even though no one from the administration is in the room currently. Just a reminder, if you are watching at home on YouTube, I encourage you to fast forward ahead to make sure you're watching live to the second of the meeting. This meeting did start at 7 p.m. this evening. The purpose to do so is that if you'd like to make a public comment and call in during our window of opportunity, to make sure that you're watching the live YouTube stream up to the minute when I make the open up the phone line for callers. Before we do go to public comment, we have three citations this evening honoring three retirements of longtime city employees. Those employees are Thomas Bush, David Cimarera, and Mark DeLuzio. Those citations will be mailed to those employees. We have no minutes seeking approval this evening, so we'll move to public comment. And our first public comment is for any subject not being voted on this evening. We have previously six names signed up to speak, and what I will do is I will call those folks on that list first in that order, then open it up to anyone else who'd like to call, and the number to do so is 610-997-7963. If you want to find tonight's meeting of our agenda this evening, you can do so on City Council's website. We don't have anything on our agenda this evening that is directly related to the 2021 budget. But I will note that council has been getting a lot of input from members of the community reaching out to us specifically on the topic of police funding. And right now, I just double check with City Clerk Robert Madoni. I don't believe that we've had any amendments to the mayor's proposed 2021 budget on public safety or anything related to the police department from members of council. Is that correct, Mr. Madoni?
Correct. As to the police department, we do have an amendment that came in potentially for the fire department.
Okay.
But nothing for the police department.
So as of this evening, no members of council have submitted any amendments to alter the proposed budget for the Bethlehem Police Department, and the deadline that I had asked for those amendments to come in was yesterday. So I had an opportunity to talk to a few members of council, and from my understanding, there's no will, much to the maybe rumor that council wants to defund or eliminate the Bethlehem Police Department. There's no will on council to do so. So I want to let people who are at home listening or watching this meeting be assured that it's our intention as Bethlehem City Council to continue to support all the employees of the City of Bethlehem, including the police department. And if you want to take a look at the budget for the police department from 2020 to 2021, there is an increase in that police budget, and that is mostly in part due to a 3%, which I believe is a 3% increase due to a contract requirement, which is what the administration proposed, and I believe City Council will be supporting, as well as all the, I think every employee, almost 600 employees in the City of Bethlehem will be receiving a increase in their salary other than elected officials whose salary is remaining consistent as to the 2020 budget. So I just wanted to maybe let people feel a little more assured that City Council will not be amending or making any changes to the 2021 budget for the Bethlehem Police Department. So first name on our list this evening is Scott McGowan. I'll give him a call now. Mr. Spurk, if you don't mind muting your microphone, please.
Hello.
Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Yeah, hi, thank you for calling me. I appreciate the fact of the chance to communicate with you folks and hearing the possibility of, lack of full funding for our police, which I you just clarified, and I appreciate you clarifying that at the opening. We were concerned. Our daughter attends Mitchmond, and, mommy works downtown. She's a nurse at the hospital, and gives flu shot, or gives COVID test down at Lehigh. My father's a steel worker at Bethlehem Steel. His father's a cop in Brooklyn. My parents left New York in the 70s when we got bad with crime and moved out this way. And we love our little city here, and thank you for supporting our police and make us feel safe. And what really shook us recently was our daughter, came home from school learning that her schoolmate was shot through her door. And I'm not sure if you caught the perpetrator or not, but that really caused a lot of psychological effects here with our daughter, insecurity at home, and with our being healthcare professionals and being essential workers, we're very secure, very insecure about hey, the world we're living at the moment and seeing a lot of unrest. So I just want to make sure that I communicated to you, and thank you for supporting our police. We get out of town. Been down to town to the Apollo Grill, Chris Kimmel Barn just this weekend, Music Fest, and we've during Music Fest, for example, having that police presence there is a huge deal, because we were there 2 years ago where there wasn't a police presence in a certain pocket, and clearly something's about to happen, and a brawl broke out. It was 6 to 8 rather larger women brawling in the street, and we grabbed our daughter and ran away, to get away from the melee there. So there's opportunists who look for opportunities where there's not police, and I want to make sure we express our concerns to you, from our home here, and just to tell you that, I just want to thank you folks. I don't take too much of your time here, but we wish that there'd be more support for our police. My grandfather's a cop, like I said, in Brooklyn, and having our police is essential, for the well-being of our community and the safety of our community, and I want to thank them all right now. Thank them all for doing what they do, especially in these difficult times. But thank you all on the council, and thank you for letting me share my thoughts.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. McGowan. Next name on our list is Michelle Dahlgren.
Good evening, this is Michelle.
Hi Michelle, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hello, good evening, how are you guys? I've been listening since the beginning, and so glad to hear that we're talking about rumors here and not some of the things that have been going on in the country. I just want to tell you I'm a longtime resident of Bethlehem. I grew up in Bethlehem, went to Bethlehem Catholic. After that, I went to Lehigh University, served in the Air Force, got out as a captain, And I love our country. I'm still here in our city, and I love our little city. I really do support the police. I think they have a lot of honor, and they should have a lot of respect and support from all of us. They're going through a rough time right now, and I just wanted to thank you. I won't take up much of your time. I like I said, you have other people that want to call in, but I really do think it's a great time to support our police and make sure that they have, you know, the expenditures that they need for training and accountability. You know, they're our first and last line of defense for many reasons in our city. My daughter is a student at Lehigh University, and she's gotten into things where even, you know, her car broke down. First person on the scene was a Bethlehem police officer who got her on her way again. So I'm glad that my opinion was not able to be put forward in a negative way, but in a positive way to say thank you. And I really do support our police force. I think, you know, it's a very, very nice area, the Lehigh Valley, and I think we can show real leadership to the rest of the country if we go in a positive direction. And that's all I have to say, and I just want to say thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Okay, have a great evening.
You as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good evening, Mr. Hackett. This is Bethlehem City Council.
How are you this evening?
Fine. If you could please give your name and address and give your comments to council.
My name is Bud Hackett. I live on East Mercator Road in Bethlehem. And I have comments related to the budget, but I wasn't sure if your opening comments wanted to put those off. Are you willing to take comments on the budget?
You can give a comment on any subject that you'd like to. We do not have the budget on our agenda this evening, so that would be up to you if you wanted to proceed with that.
Thank you. There's a story this morning in the morning call, and it is a comment. It's a story about the Allentown budget process, similar to yours, and there's a comment from the city controller, someone named Jeff Glazer. And he provides some advice to council, which I thought was interesting. He says it would be my recommendation that council proceed with very light feet in how they take money from various funds within the city. And he goes on to say next year will not be a very flush year. So it was interesting that for a much larger budget in a neighboring city, they have There was a full report, 46 pages from the controller, kind of warning council about how much they spent. I've had a chance to look at, although I haven't read it as carefully as you folks have, the mayor's budget. It seems to be a reasonable continuation of last year's budget, but it really includes a significant increase in taxes. And I've watched a lot of these meetings since June or July, and City Council has spent much of the past 6 months listening to and being pressured by a number of different people. I thought it was a relatively small number of extremely vocal individuals and groups. And the essence of what I've heard is those folks want city programs and operations to change. That you heard a lot of voices that said we ought to reallocate funds within the city to more social programs. And that there's really, as you know, there's no shortage of important issues that folks in and outside of the community are pushing the city to address. I mean, the issues of homelessness, affordable housing, drug abuse, gangs, mental illness, the issues of pedestrian bridges. You know, there's just more and more and more demands for council's activity. And it may be time. It may be time for the city and city council and government to declare we might need to get back to the basics of what the city's core mission is. I'm not honestly certain in preparing these remarks what the city's core mission is. And I do know that in business you see a lot of mission creep taking on more and more activities. But in my mind, the mission is all about public works, public safety, maybe addressing some, but not all, of the quality of life issues for those residents in the city. It's not the city's role, in my opinion, to try to solve all the problems of the world or our community. You know, I pay my taxes and I make contributions to organizations that help people. So I'm paying twice. And yes, I know there will be votes for elected officials who are placating, pandering is probably too strong a word, to all the vocal groups demanding change. And I do respect people's rights to speak out. We live in a democracy, and that is so important for us all. But here's the cold, hard facts. We don't have the money. In the $84 million and the list of expenditures in your budget, we don't have the money to do all the things that special interest groups are demanding. Look what happened in Allentown when city and school taxes got so high. People just moved out. There was no longer enough money to pay for the schools, and you have council members to work for the schools. As people moved out, Allentown started to see more investors buying homes and renting them out, and Allentown became a very attractive place for low-income folks to move to. The same thing happened in Reading, and even worse. Higher taxes drove people out of the city, and that created a lot more demand for expensive social programs. With a higher concentration of lower incomes, the city found itself with staggering social problems and the cost of addressing those needs. 2020 has been a devastating year for so many of us. The Fed's dropped $4 to $6 trillion into the economy to prop up the economy with direct payments to so many. I don't know what it would be like if we didn't have that infusion of cash. And that was by an administration, I won't even use the name anymore, but that was supposedly a fiscal conservative. It's time for Bethel to stop thinking about how it can spend more money, at least for this year. There'll be a lot of support for elected officials who begin to start thinking more about how Bethel can become a more balanced in its approach to governing and spending. And that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Hackett. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Next on our list is Marta Gabriel.
Hi, this is Marta.
Good evening, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, how are you?
We're well. If you could mute your computer in the background and then...
Oh, sure.
If you could give your name and address to and proceed with your comments to council. Are you still with us?
Yes, I'm sorry. Am I connected?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I didn't realize that you couldn't hear me. I've been talking. Anyway, let me start over. So first, I want to begin by thanking all of you for your service to the city. I know, you know, as elected officials, you give a lot of your time, and it is appreciated by residents like me. So I live on West Langhorne Avenue. I'm nearly a lifelong resident of the Lehigh Valley and have lived in Bethlehem the past few years. The reason I'm calling today is because I had heard that there was possibly an effort to or initiative to defund our police, and I was concerned about that. But you did say earlier in your comments that that is not the case, so I was happy to hear that. That was reassuring. So I was concerned because I highly value the police department. I think the Bethlehem Police Department is an exceptional department. Having attended Lehigh and Moravian, I had great interactions with them whenever I did run into them there when I was a student. In more recent years, both professionally and personally, I've had terrific interactions with them. I think they enjoy a great reputation in the Lehigh Valley. They're among the best departments, one of the best departments in the valley. And I want to make sure that they are funded and, you know, as you said earlier, possibly even a little bit more funding, because I do value the service, and I think our, you know, public safety is paramount. So anything that you can do to support them, I, as a taxpayer and resident of Bethlehem, support your efforts as well.
Thank you for your comments.
Okay, thank you. Have a good night.
You as well. Next name signed up is Bill Schreier.
This is Bill.
Good evening. This is Bethlehem City Council.
Hi. Sounds like Adam Morgan.
Tis me. It's been a long time since we've chatted.
Yeah, I've been hunkering down.
Well, I'm glad we got a hold of you. What can we do for you this evening?
Well, I have one comment on the this issue of defunding the police. And that is that the defunding is an unfortunate word. And I think a better word would be focusing. Focusing the police on what they do well and leaving the social work for others who are trained for that. And in that regard, it's interesting, I've learned recently that emergency medical services are only half a century old. And before that, the police would take people to the emergency room, if you can believe that. And that gives us a little perspective on the whole issue. And that's really all I have to say. Just a change of terminology, I think, would be helpful.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Thank you for your comments.
You know, carry, as Ed Gallagher says, carry on, carry the good fight.
We will. Thank you, sir. Good night.
Good night.
Next caller is Lucy Lennon. This is Bethlehem City Council.
Hello, how are you?
Well, you could give your name and address and proceed with your comments to council.
Okay, my name is Lucy Lennon. I live at 1021 Beverly Avenue in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Good evening, council members, Mr. Mayor. Today, I am speaking to you today in total and heartfelt support of our police department. We are extremely blessed by the past and present leadership and body of the Bethlehem Police Department. They are good men and women who have worked hard to keep our city a safe and secure community. Among the 17,000 police departments nationwide, only 800 carry the designation of the Commission of Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies, and Bethlehem is one of them. Statewide, only 120 of 1,184 departments are accredited. Once again, Bethlehem is one of them. And nationwide, only 4% have dual accreditation, and Bethlehem is one. If you want local statistics on Bethlehem itself, there were 24 complaints in 2019 out of 61,471 calls. That's percentage of 0.03904. Broken down even simpler, it's average of 5,000 plus or minus calls a month with two complaints a month. The average arrest in Bethlehem is a white male, age 18 to 25, getting arrested between noon and 3 in August. These are the statistics and facts that represent the Bethlehem Police Department. And I won't even go into the amount of time and effort these men and women put in on their own in the community through volunteering, fundraising, food drives, social programs, toy drives. I could go on and on about what good humans they are and how blessed we are to have them in our community. You wanted to fund or cut the police and fire department budgets while raising our taxes 5% during a pandemic where our merchant community is struggling so, and our residents are struggling also. If you are looking for funding, how about taking back some of the department head raises, which are, some of them are up to 10%. Our city forester is jumping from $66,000 to $74,000. Our zoning officer is jumping from $75,000 to $84,000. And the recreation director is getting an $8,000 raise to $77,000. And this is only three. Throughout the budget, there are department heads on every floor getting a raise. In this year's, as you sit there, and you're supposed to be representing the city of Bethlehem and our residents, I hope you will look a little deeper into the budget, cut some of these raises, and you've got the funding for the social programs that you want, and don't cut our police and fire department. You cannot judge the men and women that do this job. They keep the beautiful historic neighborhoods quiet, answer the crazy domestic calls, deal with the people that are dangerous. Some are mentally ill, some are just having a bad day, but they know how to deal with it, and that's what they get trained to do. If you don't support your own Bethlehem Police Department as a city council person, you really should be ashamed of yourselves. I'm ashamed that some of you that don't represent and speak out on the good, kind people of our Bethlehem Police Department. I wish the police department good luck, safe days and nights, and all the hardworking city employees who, despite the adversity of what I'm hearing in the public and some of you council members, they are doing a great job and they make our city a great place to live. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. At this point, we'll accept comment on anyone who would like to make comment to City Council. The number to do so is 610-997-7963. If you'd like to call in this evening to make comment, you can do so now. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, hello. I would like to make a comment in a topic.
Okay, if you could please give your name and address and proceed with your comments to council.
Sure. This is Diana Rodriguez, 315 Roush Street, Bethlehem, PA.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, Mr. Waldron, I'm not sure if you remember, but on the October 6th council meeting, some neighbors from Roush Street brought up some concerns about the impact of the Armory redevelopment to our very old homes after having some issues with the vibration and drillings on our homes. Well, since then, the drilling, noise, dust have continued. At some point, Boyle actually also fenced off a part of a privately owned alley and dug it up a little bit. On another day, the electricity was cut off on our homes in the middle of the day. Now that people are actually working from home without the courtesy of a previous warning. So by now, it's pretty clear to us that we're going to continue dealing with the hazards of having a construction of this size so close to our homes. However, I felt very hopeful when you, Mr. Wardo, acknowledged that you are all aware that the process of this construction was not going to be easy. And you actually mentioned that the city, the developer, and the neighbors should all work together to minimize any problems that may arise. And you suggested that we get in touch with Ms. Alicia Garner, which we did, and we thank you for that suggestion. And she did email us the maps of the construction and the landscape, which we really appreciate. However, we asked her to please set up periodic inspections throughout the length of this construction and a few months maybe after, just to make sure that our homes, which are so old, will be okay. But her answer was that the city does not check homes on periodic basis. So we feel very, for the lack of a better word, sad, that after the city approved a construction of this magnitude, then they wash their hands and leave us at the mercy of whatever might happen. So I'm asking the city today, do you know if you have any knowledge of there is a reason why the city cannot commit to do simple follow-up inspections? I mean, if everything goes well and nothing happens, which is what we're really hoping for, that would be wonderful. But if something might happen, why is it up to the neighbors to spend thousands of dollars to deal with the damage or to hold developers accountable? Is it too much to ask that after placing such a burden on this community, that the city takes a few steps to protect the homes and the surrounding neighbors? And I'm wondering, shouldn't this be a common practice anyway, that when a construction of this size is approved, that there is a follow-up with the neighbors around, especially in historic neighborhoods? In addition, we also asked her for a copy of the traffic impact study and about the steps that the city or maybe the developer would take to solve some of the negative traffic impacts that little alleys like the one we live in on Rush Street, an alley that has no sidewalks where pedestrians, people walking their kids and pets have to share the actual street with trucks and cars. And this is all going to be incremented now when more traffic is added after all these apartments. So we asked her to please share the traffic impact study with us. And she said that we will have to fill out an application for the right to know, which we're kind of confused because this is all supposed to be public information. And we're wondering why are there so many obstacles for us to see something that is actually going to impact our lives for the years to come. So I was just wondering if you knew if there was a way that we can have the city just do these inspections, just please to make sure that our homes that are so old are going to be okay. I mean, there is an easier way to have access to this traffic study. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time of all of you.
Thank you for your comments. Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, my name is Patricia Centerville and I reside at 503 West 4th Street.
Good evening. If you could please proceed with your comments.
I'm calling to once again voice support of the people's budget put forth by Lehigh Valley Stands Up and to urge City Council against the originally proposed budget that would substantially increase funding to the Bethlehem Police Department. Countless studies have shown that more police funding doesn't mean a safer community, in part because the kinds of systemic issues at the root of stereotypically unsafe communities can't be solved with greater incarceration and police presence. In order to truly build safer, healthier communities, cities need to invest in the people, not the punishment of the people. To quote former Dallas Police Chief David Brown, "We're asking cops to do too much in this country. We are. Every societal failure, we put it off on the cops to solve. Not enough mental health funding, let the cops handle it. Here in Dallas, we got a loose dog problem, let's have the cops chase loose dogs. School fails, let's give it to the cops. That's too much to ask. Policing was never meant to solve all those problems." Even as a woman who's been taught her whole life to fear men, just as any woman has, that fear that rules my life, that I'm so intimately familiar with, pales in comparison to the fear I see in the eyes of children in my neighborhood when they see cops around here in broad daylight. Having seen how traumatizing police presence can be, combined with the statistics of police brutality, even in cases where victims did nothing wrong, has made it so that I will do everything in my power to avoid calling the police at all costs. I urge Bethlehem City Council to take a closer look at the city's people's needs and re-examine the budget, because our community would prosper if these much-needed funds were allocated to other causes besides policing. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, this is Dominique Ocampo.
Good evening. If you could proceed with your comments, please.
Yep. So my name is Dominique Ocampo. I reside at 22 West 4th Street, Bethlehem, and I'm calling to voice again the need to defund police on behalf of Lehigh Valley Stands Up. I'm currently a Lehigh University student. I'm only 20 years old, and I have seen from my time in Bethlehem the past 3 years the impact that the police has on our local community and also the community as a whole across America. I believe that defunding the police will not only help us to invest in our communities and create a safer space, but also allow for a more thorough, more supportive opportunity for people who are mentally ill, for people who struggle with domestic violence or other such things that the police are not actually trained for. We do, as has been voiced before, put way too much pressure on the police to do things that they aren't properly trained for. We can be investing in the community and searching for people who are trained in mental illness and are trained to work in social work and other such things that the police are often called for. As a student right now, I have been in such situations and actually do not believe in calling the police. I do not feel comfortable calling the police as a mentally ill woman. I urge the community and the city council to consider what this police budget means and what this community could actually do should we start investing in the community instead. There's so many other places that this money can be divested and so many opportunities that we could open to people who are at risk in our Bethlehem community. And I think that the propaganda and the fear around defunding the police is completely valid. It is very hard for us to reorganize our thoughts when we've been raised up in a society that believes that the police is one of the only ways that we can protect ourselves and protect our community, when in fact that isn't the case. So I just want to reinstate the need and the necessity that there is to defund the police, and that this can be a very positive thing for everybody that's living in this area. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi. Do you have me?
Yes, we do.
Okay, this is George Roxanne. It's 435 West 3rd Street in Bethlehem. I'd like to take a little bit of my time to read some messages in support of the Bethlehem Police Department received by a petition that was started by LD Good Neighbors. About 7,000 people responded to this in support. Sheena H. says, "Law enforcement is crucial in order to keep us functioning society. Without law enforcement officers responding to calls for domestic abuse, DUIs, break-ins, etc., who is there to stand between the innocent and the criminal?" Peter F. says, "A city without law enforcement is a city I will never visit, nor will I spend any of my money there." Peter's from Easton. Currently, he says he visits Bethlehem for the restaurants and stores. That will no longer happen. Don M. says, "This is ridiculous. What the heck are people supposed to do if they need help and there are no police to protect them?" Mark A. says, "Police need all the support they can get in today's age. Better funding is better training."
George, are you still with us? George, we're not able to hear you if you're still on the line.
Your call has been forwarded to an op.
Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Yes, hello. My name is Michael Stauffer. I live on Cayuga Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Thank you for taking my call.
Good evening. Please proceed with your comments.
Yes, I'm just calling. First of all, I'm very happy at what I heard in your opening statements, that there will not only not be a defunding of the police, but I think you said a 3% increase covering, I don't know if it was salaries or expenses, but whatever it is, our police deserve it. I grew up in a military family, and I lived in 8 different states by the time I graduated from high school, and I moved to Bethlehem about 40 years ago. I can tell you that the Bethlehem Police Department is the finest police department that I've ever encountered or been around. I was in the Marines when I got out of high school. I was on different bases. I've interacted with a lot of different law enforcement organizations, and we have the finest police department, I believe, in the state. Very proud of them. The other thing I wanted to say was Bethlehem is built largely on tourism. Since Bethlehem Steel shut down 40 years ago, we've become a tourist-driven economy in many respects. And we can have the best festivals and fairs and music fest and everything under the sun. But if people are not safe, it's all for naught. And so I'm just strongly, strongly approving and extremely happy to hear that we are not going to be defunding our police. And I'll close just by saying this, the proof is really in the pudding. I'm reading articles virtually every day about our major cities in this country, Portland, Seattle, New York City, etc., Chicago, where there's been a direct correlation between the defunding and the devaluing of police by city governments, where there have been mass retirements and the crime has spiked upward. New York City used to be a great place to take a family and just walk around for the day. I will not take my family up there. And there is right now a mass exodus of residents from there. So I disagree with the caller that called before and said that reallocating funds creates a safer society. I completely disagree with that. The more police we have on the street, the safer our streets are, the better our community is. So thank you very much for the opportunity to call in, and I thank everybody on City Council for your time and your work.
Thank you for your comments. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, George Roxanovich again. We'll try one more time.
Yeah, sorry, George. We got, I think we got through the first two comments you had from, or two or three possibly, and then your line went dead on us.
I got it. I can go on. For instance, there's other folks here. I've got 2 pages of comments about people supporting the police, talking about how important the police department and how well the Bethlehem Police Department functions. But one of the things I want to say from my own perspective is while there are no current motions to defund or restructure the police department, it's obvious that the sympathies of many of the council members is with the radical groups that are looking to undermine or restructure the police force. It's stunning to me that City Council, for example, would make one of these radical groups with no practical experience or knowledge in policing, de facto subcommittees of the council. To the couple of the comments I've heard earlier, anyone afraid to call the police shouldn't call the police. They can call whoever they feel more comfortable calling. Let's see how long it takes them to get a response.
sending a social worker to a domestic violence call. Police don't even like to go to them because they're so volatile. There's a lot, oftentimes they turn violent very quickly, and you have both sides against you. Now you're going to send someone in there with words of comfort and consolation. It just, you know, they're totally unpredictable. You need somebody that can defend themselves at least, and that is the police department. They're trained to do that. They're trained to do it correctly and with the least amount of flack. But, for example, and getting back to some of the other comments here, Susan P. says, born and raised in Bethlehem, love the police, always felt safe. Stand alone in Bethlehem, keep your history and city in your thoughts. Christine V says, I'm a Bethlehem resident and fully support the Bethlehem Police Department. I hope our law enforcement officers know that we truly appreciate them. The people that believe we need to defund our police need to go away. Excuse me. There's no way around this. The folks that are trying to defund the police department have other agendas in their minds. A lot of these young activists became activists because they were conditioned to be activists. It's very easy to be pulled into these organizations, and I think we're seeing examples of that all over the country. When people are defending violence in other cities, it hasn't come here yet because we have what we need from the police and from the community to support the police. But we're, you know, other cities I'm sure said the same thing until it turned on them. That's about all I have to say tonight. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hello, yes. My name is Greg Ragney. Matt, is this a good time for everybody?
Yes. Yes, we can.
All right. I reside at 2955 Oakland Road in Bethlehem, and I just have some brief comments. Much has been made in the current political environment of the tone with which political statements are made and how much words matter, especially when coming from those who represent us. If by simply relaying quotes that city council members have made to their constituents upsets those constituents, maybe the members of council should think more deeply about what they are saying before they say it. I will spare the members of council the pain of hearing their own quotes tonight in favor of letting you hear the voice of the people. Over 7,000 citizens signed a petition to defend the Bethlehem Police Department from defunding, and thousands of them also left heartfelt comments which should be heard by their elected representatives on council and by the law enforcement employees who work as a team to protect our community. Patrick C. of Bath, PA, says, because after this terrible decision to defund the police is made, governments will soon see the wisdom in reversing that decision, but only after innocent people are hurt or killed. As a 911 dispatcher, I can tell you that there is only a thin line between us and the worst, most violent people on the planet. That line is formed by police officers. And who benefits the most from defunding? Criminals. They would soon remind us all why police are needed. Tim F. of Bethlehem says, Bethlehem police do a wonderful job. We need to keep our undercovers out there. If we don't, crime and drugs will get worse. These men and women of our police force put their lives at risk every day. Don't make it worse by making them understaffed and underappreciated. Do not defund our police. All caps.
Lawrence M. I have 7 years of direct experience with the operations of the Bethlehem Police Department. Over the past 20 years, BPD officers have saved hundreds, if not thousands, of lives by providing life-saving interventions amid violent situations and medical emergencies. In these 2 decades, they have returned hundreds, if not thousands, of missing children and endangered persons to their homes and locked up thousands of domestic abusers, sexual predators, violent gang members, etc. They have gotten hundreds of illegal guns off your streets and recovered millions of dollars of stolen property. In all this time, despite those officers sustaining many severe injuries in the line of duty, Bethlehem police officers have only killed one man who was firing at police officers before being killed by return fire. BPD has already been defunded, with pensions cut from a top rate of 70% to a flat rate of 50%. You have the finest police department in Pennsylvania protecting your community, which is, in my opinion, the finest mid-sized city in PA. Please do not cave. Steve Sexton says, people, police are amazing humans that provide a desperately needed service to protect civility from chaos. I am not trying to live in a real life purge movie. Casey E. says, I back the blue. Police and their families fill an extremely important role in our community that simply cannot be fulfilled any other way. Sheep despise the sheepdog until the wolves descend. Marianne K. says, I grew up in a small town in PA. Our local police were a respected and huge part of our communities. Take a look at Seattle, Portland, New York, Chicago, Minnesota. Need I go on? How dare you even think about not supporting them in every possible way? Shame on you, and start looking for a new job now, because all of my PA family will vote your butts right out of office.
A lot of smart people in Pennsylvania. Mr. Ragney, we do have a 5-minute time limit, which you're closing in on here. If you have any additional comments to wrap up.
I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. Hopefully, from those voices of your constituents, you get the idea. It sounds from your original statement that you do, and we're very pleased to hear it. Thank you for listening. Have a great night.
You as well. Still accepting comment to City Council at 610-997-7963. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, my name is Glenn Nelson. I live at 711 West Broad Street. People tonight have been saying they would be scared with fewer police on the streets. We hear you. That's what everyone always says to our side. But those of us who support defunding have had to exist in states of fear because of the police. We know the counter-arguments. We've heard that if you aren't a criminal, you supposedly have nothing to fear from police. This absurd claim completely ignores the innocent and unarmed who've been killed by police, or those killed for minor offenses, where those petty offenses have been used to justify the act of murder. Justinian's Code, the Roman basis of all Western law, argues that punishment for a crime must not exceed the crime itself. Yet Michael Brown was shot for allegedly stealing from a convenience store. George Floyd was murdered for allegedly using a counterfeit $20 bill. Eric Garner was strangled to death for allegedly selling loose cigarettes. None of these lives were granted due process to even establish criminality. They were killed extrajudicially by their local governments. They were deprived of their constitutional right to the assumption of innocence. But we still hear, if you aren't a criminal, you have nothing to worry about. As we can see, this very argument is unpatriotic at its core. since it attacks the very foundational document of our republic, particularly the section we Americans hold most dear, our Bill of Rights, and the protections for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We claim to live in a free society here in America, but in the same breath, we give power to the police to kill over being disobeyed, regardless of the justness of the order or the character of the individual officer. We place these imperfect humans with all the failings of power in a position where they are deemed infallible. An officer's word is given more credibility in a court of law than a citizen's, despite the fact that we know police regularly manipulate facts to win cases. The podcast Serial has outed practices like overcharging defendants and convicting based on officer testimony alone as widespread nationally. But these practices have been recorded right here in Lehigh County, where our judges disproportionately jail defendants of color and our DA refuses to investigate police misconduct. In addition, as a Jew, I am alarmed by the degree to which white supremacists have been allowed to infiltrate the ranks of police. The FBI themselves have issued reports on this widespread and troubling national problem. This is to say that police are not immune to moral or personal failings, and we have no system of accountability or transparency regarding these public servants. Instead, they behave with impunity because that's what our legal system offers. They kneel on necks, they shoot to kill, they strangle, and in case after case, officers walk away with scarcely a blemish to their record for acts forbidden in every system of codified law and every major religion. They violate the most sacred of commandments, the prohibition of taking human life. This is not a minor issue or one we can allow to be taken casually. This is a matter of life and death. And those of us that have butted up against this institution know that all too well. Yet we hear from sycophants who claim we would be less safe without police. But this is an argument too. This is an argument that is too often made in poor faith. A few weeks ago, a caller noted Bethlehem is a, quote, unsafe city. By any metric, this is a false claim. But even if it were not, it would actually cut against the idea that police are the solution. We have been raising police budgets for decades here and have seen negligible changes in crime rates. We continue to put money into something that is not changing outcomes. That's called inefficiency in economics. And the defund opposition wish to have things both ways. We are supposedly both unsafe and in need of more police while also being kept safe by already historic policing levels. Bethlehem cannot be both safe and unsafe. I would argue, rather, that we are safe, and it is because our police are funded at levels more appropriate to our crime rate than Allentown, for instance. Allentown has a much larger police budget than we have, and also a higher crime rate. Philadelphia dwarfs both budgets combined and sees a murder a day. As we put more money into police, we actually see outcomes worsen in relation to crime. It's probably just a correlation, not causation. Crime is multifaceted, and policing is only one factor. And ultimately, policing changes far less in regards to outcomes than economic indicators do. And that's the point here. It is ineffective at its supposed purpose. But by giving so much of the city's money to police, there has been opportunity loss. Other departments are asked to do more with less year after year. Our city lacks critical services, long deemed the purview of governments higher up the food chain. But as those entities fail to provide for the needs of health and human services challenges, we have to look for other ways our governments can meet the needs of the people. We cannot continue to write blank checks for ineffective, inefficient parts of the budget when we have people living with hardships in a pandemic depression. People are out of jobs, they're getting sick, they're losing their federal safety net, they're getting evicted from their homes, and people want to act like we are coming down too hard on police simply because we are demanding that the department not be rewarded with a raise for moderate to poor return on investment. Especially not while the rest of us face eviction, disease, food insecurity, and the like. It is downright shameful and refuses to afford the dignity human life deserves. If council refuses to act in meaningful ways to address human suffering in the face of this absurd grasp, it will only continue to erode the trust that people have in the legitimacy of their government. Government is a two-way street, but by ignoring the demands of the people, government becomes tyranny. We graciously grant you our tax money, and we vote for you to administer that money in a way that reflects our values. As far as I can see from the budget, Bethlehem values police and little else, not firemen, not the ambulance corps, not the health and welfare of its citizens. Prove us wrong by taking action now, but you will prove us right with continued silence, lack of transparency, and monetary support for a racist, violent, and inefficient institution that is not compatible with life in a free society. I would like to close my statements by noting an important distinction on civility between how activism is actually being conducted. On our side, I have witnessed tireless individuals calling in repeatedly to express concerns for the civil rights of our fellow citizens. We've been calling in week after week in the face of council inaction. We have sought meetings with council members to plead our case. We have used our rights to speak and occasionally assemble as constitutionally granted. Also, we are not personally attacking any individual officer, but rather the institution. Many of us have been heartened, in fact, by Chief Cop's appointment, as she has shown a willingness to take on an intractable problem, even if many of us don't see eye to eye on what the policy solution will look like. What we do agree on is that Bethlehem has an opportunity to be at the forefront of presenting policies that improve lives. At times, it will seem like she is giving an inch and we want a mile, but that is inherent in policy negotiation, and we are not going to be shy about what we want and how we want it done. Still, there has been a marked shift in the culture of the department, which I think all of us appreciate. We are also not as inflexible as we have been portrayed. Yes, our language is direct. Perhaps we even seem tired and irritable to you. It takes a lot of energy to repeat ourselves in the face of inaction. We came over the summer and made 4 hours of public comment, and we were told to come back in budget season. So here we are, and we'd like to see some indication that the politicians who said, "We hear you," in June, have taken our concerns to heart and are taking action. But we don't expect you to abolish police tomorrow. Instead, we want to see incremental steps to reinvest in our community while simultaneously disinvesting from the police department. Again, incrementally collecting data on the results and letting data dictate where we go.
Mr. Nelson, I'd ask if you could please conclude your comments. We do have a 5-minute time limit, and you're pushing 10 minutes now.
Okay, I will conclude my comments right now. Everyone I work with is committed to individual freedoms laid out in our Bill of Rights. All of us are committed to the ideals laid out in the Constitution, despite the opposition's attempts to smear us as a cabal of socialists. We are here because just this summer, police kneeled on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds while that man cried out to God and his mother. George Floyd lost his life and liberty simultaneously. Did that look like freedom to you? So while the opposition claims to be the bearers of American liberty, ask yourself, does what they defend look like liberty to you? If it were done to you, would you feel free? What our side has concluded is that none of us are free until all of us are, and that all lives, even blue lives, cannot be said to matter until black lives do. Thank you.
Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hello, my name is Sebastian. I live at 341 Spring Street, Apartment B, and I'm calling to make some comments to the City Council. Do I have the floor?
Yes, go ahead, Sebastian.
Hey, well, thank you for taking my time to listen to our comments. I understand that you weren't looking to talk about the proposed budget at this time, but my comment does pertain to that.
You may talk about any topic. Go ahead.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you. My concern with a lot of the comments that have been voiced on the side of the defunding of the police may be taken in poor stride given what the City Council is proposing here. They're proposing a budget increase of 3% to account for inflation, of which is understood as kind of like the national average. So to ensure that the police officers who are paid by the city continue to have a livable wage. But my concern is that the budget as a whole over the previous, that from as far as I can see from 2016 to now 2021 has become inflated with other costs that are unnecessary. So you're looking at a $1.1 million increase from 2016 to 2021. And there are portions of the budget which account for things such as tactical gear, police body cameras, and other items, which seem to be not effective in addressing the issues of crime concerns in our population and our community. In 2018, we saw a pretty significant spike in crime, which was not really associated with anything, to my knowledge, from my short reading that I've done. In response to that, the police budget in years prior had actually taken measures to reduce their budget, but since then had seen it fit to increase it to account for that anomaly of a spike. And the way they had accounted for that was by allotting a significant increase in general overtime to do what at that time Chief Mark, or the Bethlehem Police Chief Mark DeLuzio had commented saying, going back to basic policing, which was he was seeing as stopping and talking to people on the street. I don't think defunding the police is asking for police to stop necessarily doing those things which are considered right and good for police, but to ask to eliminate some of this additional expenses that aren't seen on nationwide studies when things as tactical gears and cameras that are being instituted are not being shown as being effective in reducing crime. So in closing, again, I just ask that the listeners to my comment recognize that when sometimes people are asking for a defunding of the police, it's not to take away the livelihoods or the salaries of the police officers at hand, but to refocus our attention on the police budget as a whole and how it acts to serve our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I live on Oakland Road in Bethlehem, PA. I'd like to speak for a few moments on this defunding of the police issue that everyone's discussing. The topic of police defunding has been an emotional one for so many of us in Bethlehem this year. The events witnessed across our nation, as well as those playing out in our own town, have been both riveting and troubling. Many of us have been reminded of just how important and invaluable our men and women in blue are to us. Accountability is at the core for everyone. But I've said it from the start, everyone, not just the police, must be accountable for their own actions and recognize that we each contribute and represent 50% of the equation when we deal with another human being. Every day, in every way, we choose. We choose how we respond to every moment and every individual. So choose well. I thought it worth mentioning that although ours are the most highly trained, professional, and accredited police, 911 is not your only option if you do not want to encounter a policeman or woman. It's also worth mentioning that if you are in a mental health crisis, both Northampton County and Lehigh County are equipped with 24/7 hotlines with people who are trained to help you through it. Mental health assistance is offered at the county level for residents. And although Councilwoman Negron recently made the questionable comment comment that 911 isn't working for us. I would offer that the majority of our community feel quite the opposite. If you would like the Northampton County's crisis intervention number, it's 610-252-9060, and Lehigh County's number for crisis intervention is 610-782-3127. They can assist regardless of your income or insurance. On a separate note, I would like to thank former Chief DeLuzio for his decades of service to the Bethlehem community. Along those same lines, I would like to share some comments left by Bethlehem police supporters on the Defend the Police petition. Many of our men and women in blue may not have the opportunity to read them, and they should be able to hear the support coming from citizens. Jamie K. says, Bethlehem City Police is one of the best police departments in the Lehigh Valley. Their professionalism and compassion is beyond reproach. Lillian M. of Bethlehem, we need to support the police. When they get the 911 call, they don't know who needs help. They respond no matter who it is. They are willing to risk their lives every day. They don't know if they're going to be ambushed or if they're going to save a child's life. Remember, all those who are petitioning against the blue, if you need help, who will respond to your call? Oh, that's right, you will have the city leaders to back you up. Back up your police. Betsy W. Best policing practices include more training, more interaction with neighbor community organizations, more time working with youths and in schools. It all costs more money, but it is the only way to build the interactive trust that we need. Jim S. of Bethlehem says, I stand with our police department. They have always been transparent and have brought about stability to the city of Bethlehem. I am against the current move to defund the department and stand with our officers against this attack. Ellen H., defunding the police department means less protection for the majority of voters and tax-paying citizens who rely on them. Crime will increase significantly, and the only ones who will benefit are those violating the laws. Increase funding for police and add funding for other programs if needed. The very loud minority do not speak for the silent majority. And I think that concludes my cons. I thank you for your time. I thank you for hearing the majority of Bethlehem residents and citizens who, with their common sense and their belief in our police force, believe our police should be fully funded, as the mayor does, and we appreciate you backing the mayor in this decision. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Still accepting comment at 610-997-7963. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, my name's Allison Mickle. I live at 1204 West Market Street. I'd like to make a comment.
Go ahead.
Thanks. So I wasn't planning to make a comment tonight because I know we're not, there's no amendments on the table. We're not talking about the budget. But I've been really disturbed by a lot of the comments made tonight. There have been a number of people, and honestly, I'm pretty confused by them as well. There's been a lot of comments voicing nostalgia for Bethlehem's past, people saying they've lived here for 40 years, 50 years, and saying that, you know, Bethlehem used to be so safe and they just loved old Bethlehem. But I want to point out that the police, the proportion of the budget that goes to police has increased over time. And so their nostalgia is actually for a time in which police received less funding proportionally to the city budget. So them talking about the need to continually increase the police budget, fully fund it, and continue to fully fund it, and in fact increase the budget, is sort of wild given their nostalgia for this past of Bethlehem when actually police received less funding. In fact, there is no statistical link between the amount of funding that a police department receives and the crime rate in that city. If anything, increasing police funding leads to a slight increase in the crime rate, which makes sense because you have more people identifying, naming, documenting crime.
There's also been a number of people on this call tonight voicing that there are already alternatives to police in the city. I want to point out that a number of those alternatives end up calling the police inevitably, so they're not actually resources for people who don't want to have an interaction with the police, which is bound to be negative if you're in a mental health crisis or if you're a person of color. And if we are really proud of these alternatives to police, we should be funding them. We should be providing them with the resources they need to adequately respond to crises in times of emergency. The other thing I wanted to just briefly respond to is the repeated claims that we have the finest police in the country. I'm not exactly sure how that's being measured, but I have looked at the Bethlehem crime rate. These are statistics provided by the city itself. And I will reiterate, as I have before in city council meetings, that Bethlehem police officers are 5 times more likely to use force against people of color. They use force against nearly a dozen minors a year, and most of the time this use of force is justified just in the service of effecting an arrest, not out of self-defense or protection or any reason like that. That, to me, does not sound like the finest police in the country, and in fact, that statistic that they're 5 times more likely to use force against people of color, frankly, pretty embarrassing to be proud of performance like that. That is not something that we should be calling fine or that we should be proud of. So I am really disheartened to hear that the council is backing down from even considering any reduction in the police budget. I really hope that you will reconsider that because these statements in support of the police have been confusing and inherently contradictory. And deeply, deeply problematic. Thanks so much.
Bethlehem City Council accepting comment on any subject with a 5-minute time limit. The number to do so is 610-997-7963. If anyone would like to make comment on any subject on our agenda this evening, any resolution or ordinance to be voted on, now's the time to do that. The same number, 610-997-7963. This will be the last call for public comment this evening. On with our agenda, communications 6A.
A memorandum from Alicia Carner, Director of Community and Economic Development, requesting Council to consider a resolution for the destruction of records from the Controller's Office listed in the attached exhibit. The Director has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
The resolution will be placed on the December 15th council agenda. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Michael Alco, Director of Public Works, with an attached proposed ordinance establishing a new article of the codified ordinances, Article 929, titled Stormwater Collection and Management User Fees.
Mr. Mayor, do you mind muting your microphone? Thank you. Bill 39-2020 is on tonight's agenda for first reading. It is listed as item 9A. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Eric Evans, Business Administrator, recommending a contract with Pannoni Associates for Energy Procurement Services. The term of the contract runs through December 31st, 2025. The cost is $186,000 for the full 5-year term.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Michael Alco, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract price increase with CMR Construction, Inc. for work related to catch basin removal replacement. The term of the contract runs until December 16th, 2020. The increase is for $13,055, and the total new cost will be $105,055. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Reports. I have no reports as president other than earlier before our council meeting this evening at 5:30, council met as a committee of the whole to hear the administration's proposed stormwater collection and management user fee ordinance. That meeting was for informational purposes only, and council took no action. The proposed ordinance is on tonight's council agenda for first reading. I don't believe that there's any reports from the administration this evening. We will move to ordinances for final passage. Ordinance 8A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting a new article of the codified ordinances titled Wage Equality. Bill 38-2020 is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Mr. Callahan?
Thank you, Mr. President. As I said a couple weeks ago, I proposed this ordinance to establish a new article. The ordinance is designed to combat widespread gender-based wage inequalities by prohibiting employer inquiries into prospective employer wage history, as well as employer reliance on this such wage history for determining compensation. In the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, women are paid 79 cents for every dollar that a man makes, according to the United States Census Bureau 2015 report. And women of color are paid even less. African American women are paid only 68 cents to the dollar paid to a man. Latinas are paid only 56 cents to a dollar paid to a man. And Asian women are paid 81 cents to a dollar paid to a man. The gender wage gap has narrowed by less than one half a penny per year in the United States since 1963, when the Congress first passed the Equal Pay Act. And that was the first law aimed at prohibiting gender-based pay discrimination. And since women are paid on average lower wages than men, basing wages upon a worker's wage at a previous job only serves to perpetuate gender wage inequalities and leave families with less money to spend on food and housing and other essential goods and services. The premise of this ordinance is that salary offers should be based upon the specific job responsibilities of a position and not based upon an applicant's prior wage history, so as to avoid the perpetuation of gender wage inequalities that first start coming out of college, when in hypothetical situations you have two individuals that graduated from the same university with the same grades, and they go out into the workforce, and generally a woman is offered $10,000 to $12,000 less than a man for the same job offer. And what happens is that when they go, you know, to move on to another job, and the guy does, employers are asking prospective employee what were their wages at, you know, at their prior jobs, and based on those, that's what a new offer's made, and it just keeps on perpetuating the wage inequality among women when it comes to equal pay to men. So I had proposed this about a year ago. We had went through a time period where it went to our committee. It was reviewed by the Human Resources Committee, and they didn't want to deal with it. And since then, we went around them, and we went to the Northampton and Lehigh County Human Resources or Human Relations Committee, which is going to be formed. And I think because of that, we got some movement on this. And I want to thank Dr. Van Wert and Councilwoman Negron for helping me move forward on this. I hope we have enough votes for it tonight to pass. Thank you.
Dr. Van Wert?
Walden, I think Mr. Callahan forgot 50% of the ordinance. So I thought I would just include the other significant part of this ordinance, which is a prohibition on banning the sharing of wage information. This is a tactic that's used by employers when they do want to suppress wages. Employers can, either contractually or through their human resources department, forbid the sharing of information among employed people. And this is a traditional way of also suppressing wages for historically disenfranchised groups. So this ordinance has a second part to it, which is the prohibition on banning the sharing of wage information. So this ordinance would make it unlawful employment practice for an employer to require an employee to sign a contract or waiver that would prohibit the employee from disclosing or sharing information about the employee's wages, salary, or remuneration, or in any manner to forbid the disclosure or sharing of wage, salary, or remuneration information by an employee, or to retaliate in any way against an employee for disclosing or sharing wage, salary, or remuneration information. So the critical difference here is the first part of this ordinance employs, it deals with people who are interviewing, and they are not employed by the person who is doing the interview. The second part is for people who already work for a company, and this gives them the mechanism to fight against this form of wage suppression. So I wanted to make sure that it was clear that there's two parts to this ordinance, and that's the second part. Thank you very much.
Any other discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
No, wait, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Mr. Callahan? Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Werp?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Nay. Passes 6-1. New ordinances for consideration this evening. Ordinance 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Pennsylvania, establishing a user fee for stormwater collection and management fee. Bill 39, 2020, is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? As I noted earlier, this was the sole topic of the Committee of the Whole meeting that we had earlier this evening before the Council meeting. I think almost everybody was able to make it to that meeting to hear the presentation by Mr. Alcohol and Mr. Dorner about what this fee will entail. This is something that the city's been thinking about for years now, or is implementing to take place in January of 2021. Right now, Mr. Alcohol is not here, but he has told me he's watching on YouTube, and he can call in if we'd like to ask him any questions. So we did have an opportunity to review this pretty thoroughly in committee just a little bit ago. So are there any other questions or comments from members of council relating to this? Mr. Grum?
Thank you, President Waldron. I don't have a question. I just want to comment. I feel that the administration should have taken a closer look at how to set the fees that homeowners have to pay. I don't think that what they presented to us is just like a blanket that I think is not fair. It needs to be more just because we have families with different incomes. You know, we have from elderly that are living on set incomes to families that are working for, you know, $10 an hour, and they won't be able to. It's going to be a challenge. While we have others that, some of us that might be able to pay more, so that I think it needs to be revisited. And we talked about it, and I know that Mr. Alcohol mentioned that it will take him a long time to do the numbers again. And I just feel, you know, I know this needs to be done, and it's an important piece of our structure and infrastructure, but it needs to be fair as well. I really worry. We're going through a lot of harm. This year has been really, really tough for many in our community, economically, job-wise, and health, and you name it. And it's not going to get better anytime soon. It still will get much worse. So I feel it's my responsibility to make sure that this is taken look at. I think they took the easiest way out to make the number everybody the same. And I don't think it should be that. I know that Councilwoman Gwen Smith mentioned Parsley and how they have tiers, and, you know, well, some households are paying $120 a year, some are paying $30, you know. And I think that's fair. I think that we need to take a closer look at how to charge this fee and make it more equitable. So I will not be supporting this tonight, and I'm hoping that they can work something out. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Negron. Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Thank you, Ms. Alden. I thoroughly agree with Councilman Negron, and as we talked about in our committee of the whole meeting previous to this meeting, I think it is really important if we can look at like a three-tier system or some kind of tier system, like I mentioned Carlisle and maybe some other municipalities have, and I'd be willing to help broker that with you know the people that I know in Carlisle that can certainly talk to our Mr. Alcall and those involved and talk about how they went about this system. But nonetheless, I have met with Mr. Alcall and the Public Works Department regarding this, and I know that it is a necessity. It needs to happen. It's been in the works planning for many years, and it does have a lot of very good environmental impacts that are positive. And I know that it does need to happen. So I will be supporting it, but I am stating that I really want our Department of Public Works to look at a tier system once they get this up and going, to immediately looking at doing it so that it's, you know, more based on the square footage of the IAs of the property, as well as that will certainly correlate with, I believe, the income of the people in the community. So thank you.
Mr. Reynolds?
Thank you. Just to add to that, is I think that since we're voting on this for the first time tonight, and we have 2 weeks until the second vote, that would at least allow Mr. Alcall some time to investigate at least the potential feasibility of this, and if it's something that could be done. You know, I think that I will, as Councilwoman Cramsey-Smith stated, I do think it is, you know, a necessity, and it's something that, in order to stay in line with our MS4 permit, is something that I don't think we really have a choice about, but that doesn't mean that we can't gather more information in the next 2 weeks to see about the feasibility. And it might, for technology reasons, it might be difficult to do, but right now we don't know. And I mean, you know, it was just brought up today at that meeting. So I think that one of the good things about passing this twice would be the fact that it would give us time to at least, you know, get some information. And I think in 2 weeks, you know, we wouldn't be able to get all of the details, but I do think it would be something that hopefully the administration, Mr. Alcall, could come back to with if it's something that could be done. You know, I know Carlisle is smaller than Bethlehem is. I don't know their technology and things like that, but these are all things that I think we might be able to get some type of, you know, general answers to in the next 2 weeks. So we can be a little bit more informed about this on December 15th. Thank you, Ms. Miller.
Mr. Callahan?
Thank you, President Waldron. I think we just need to be honest with the taxpayers. I mean, I understand the revenue that's needed, and you know, but I just think we should tell the truth that to the residents and the taxpayers. I also understand that we have some entities that own large tracts of land who don't pay taxes, and that this is a way to get some revenue out of them. But they do have in-kind services like Lehigh University and Moravian College that do provide the city, and I think we can negotiate with them and compromise with them to provide more in-kind services. We're raising taxes 5% on our residents now, and now we're telling them that we're going to start taxing them for the rain that falls on their property. So as of now, I will be voting no for it. Thank you.
Mr. Reynolds?
As we talked about at the meeting for an hour and a half, it's a situation that in order for us to be, this isn't something that we necessarily really even have a choice about at the end of the day. And Mr. Alcala talked about how he had met with all of the largest rate payers here, and how it's not about taking revenue and putting it in our general fund or something else. It is specific for projects that are associated with stormwater. And it's something that Allentown's doing, it's something that Easton's doing. And as I said, if we don't do it, as Mr. Alcall has pointed out, and as we've talked about at multiple meetings, but especially for the hour and a half meeting at 5:30, it's a situation that if we don't do it and we're not in compliance with our MS4 permit, there are serious, serious consequences. And there's not another way to necessarily take care of these projects that are mandated by the federal government if we don't do this. And it's, I mean, if we take a look at this rationally, it's a situation that we can look at necessarily who is paying it. But at the end of the day, it's not that we're choosing to do this. We don't really have a choice as far as maintaining the MS4 permit, which we talked about extensively before. Nobody is obviously happy about this, but we shouldn't act as if we have a choice about whether or not we want to do some version of this fee. Thank you.
Dr. VanWerk?
Hi, thank you. So I was pretty torn about this, you know, the need to not want to put any more burdens on our low-income homeowners versus the need to be a responsible city and to address pressing environmental needs as well as the burden that we are under by the feds for regulating stormwater. I think that my suggestion is reasonable, that we designate, and I think this can be done before the next vote, that we designate a certain percentage of cash reserves that are left over at the end of the year, which we seem to have them in every fund, that a certain percentage of those be set aside once we hit a level for our low-income homeowners to apply for relief. So if we had only $6,000 in that cash reserve fund, that could provide 100 families with relief from this burden. So I would, again, I know Mr. Alcohol's watching, I would really like it, and I don't think that this is a difficult thing to do, is to try and see how we can set up this relief for our families before the next vote. But I will be supporting this tonight because I do think that this is something that we as a city must do for both regulatory burden and for the environment. Thank you.
Michael?
Hello. Thank you for clarifying which Michael. I will be supporting this tonight, but just echoing the comments that were made at the committee meeting by other members of council, I would be curious and appreciate Mr. Alcohol looking into what it would look like to have a different pay structure. As was mentioned previously, we're not Carlisle, but that being said, there is, I can't speak to the feasibility or practicality of it. Mr. Alcohol would have to look into that to report back to us, which he had acknowledged. So I will be supporting this tonight and also curious to see what Mr. Alcohol comes back to us with about how we would potentially be able to apply a different pay structure instead of the blanket one that is outlined in the ordinance. Thank you.
I did have the opportunity to talk to Mr. Alcohol after the meeting in the hallway as we were stretching our legs. And again, he did ask that if possible we pass this tonight under first reading. We'll have an opportunity to have a little more conversation over the next 2 weeks before second reading on December 15th. And if there's a majority of will of council to also pass it under second reading, so that way the fee ordinance, the fee structure as it is, could be instituted in January. If you look in our budget book, the fee is budgeted to start in January of 2021. So to stay on the administration's intended timeline, they would want this ordinance passed this year. So that was their hope to do that, and then potentially sit down with, over the next month or so, sit down with the consultant Wood to get some information about what a multi-tiered structure would look like, or how exactly they could assess each individual property. Because as we talked about in that meeting, there's almost, 19,500 residential plus whatever commercial and industrial. I mean, so you could say round up to 20,000 different parcels, and each one of those would need to be individually assessed at what that tax rate would, the fee rate would be, pardon me. So it's a heavy lift to do that, whether that's through our in-house GIS system or through the consultant. It's not as simple, unfortunately, as just plugging in some numbers and figuring out where everybody falls. So I do understand the need to try to push this through in order to try to have it done by the end of the year. However, I do think it is worth having a conversation about, is there a way to make this a little bit more fair to different property owners who may have smaller size properties versus larger ones. So I am sympathetic to that, but I do at least see the argument to passing this evening and having a little more time from the administration to talk about what our options might be before second reading in 2 weeks. Is there any other comments this evening before we call for a vote? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Nay.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Nay.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-2. Resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Northampton County, Pennsylvania, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposition of the Controller's Office records as stated in Exhibit A. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Grown?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller, under such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute a contract renewal with Pannoni Associates for energy procurement services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller, under such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute a contract or an amendment with CMR Construction, Inc. for catch basins removal and replacement. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Accept the motion to second to consider resolutions 10D through 10F as a group.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dr. Van Wert, second by Mr. Callahan. Ask the clerk to call the roll on that motion.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. The clerk would please read resolutions 10D through 10F.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance are hereby granted for 505 East 4th Street to install window decals, 409-411 Wyandotte Street to demolish, construct, and renovate portions of the buildings, 15 East 4th Street to replace the door and awning. The resolutions are sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. New business, Mr. Reynolds?
Thank you. I just want to remind everybody that next Wednesday, the 9th, is our final Climate Action Plan public meeting. And there are actually two of them. One is from 12 to 1:30, and the other one is from, I believe, 5 to 6:30. It might be 5:37. I'd have to check on that, the later one. But I would encourage you, if you have an opportunity, to attend one of those two. The last couple we've had, and I think it's partly been helped by the pandemic, have had very large crowds as far as all of the different institutions that have been a part of the Climate Action Plan process, which is a wide cross-section of, you know, every large institution in the city of Bethlehem. So we are wrapping up soon. I can tell you from reading the latest draft that I received today, it is impressive what we've accomplished as a group and what's going to be brought forward here in the next in the coming weeks. So just want to remind everybody, if you have an opportunity to attend one of the two meetings, it's the same meeting, so you don't have to attend both, but either 12 to 1:30 next Wednesday, or I believe it's 5 to 6:30 next Wednesday as well. Thank you, Mr. Waldman.
It's 5:30,
Mr. Bodoni reminded me, Mr. Reynolds, the meeting's at 5:30.
Thank you, Mr. Bodoni.
And Mr. Reynolds, there's our Finance Committee meeting upcoming.
The Finance Committee meeting, we will be meeting before the December 15th City Council meeting at 6 p.m. to discuss the 2019 city audit.
Thank you. Any other new business, Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to respond to most of the callers tonight calling in about the police and the defunding. And I just want to, I feel once again that I just have to set the record straight. I think that it's really important that the public is aware that no one on this city council has ever proposed eliminating the police. And unfortunately, that has been the message that has been sent out to our community over the last couple of days and weeks, and that's very unfortunate. Yes, I'd say many of us on city council, since the death of George Floyd in June, have been very moved by the hurt and pain people of color had experienced, and we have noted that. This doesn't mean that we're anti-police. I know in my own personal professional life, I have had many friends as well as clients and students who have been victims of systemic racism. And I see that, and it hurts and it pains me, and I have sympathized with them. But I can do both. I can sympathize with people of color and the hurt and pain they're feeling, and I can also support police. They are not mutually exclusive things. And that needs to be clear to the community and the individuals and the groups that are spreading these falsehoods about me and or my fellow council people. I just want to make a couple points. I think that it's important that the public knows that I believe it was February of this year I proposed, and every council member voted in favor of a resolution whereby we requested that the state legislature include coverage for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, for first responders, including policemen, under the Workmen's Comp Act. So that was, again, another instance of our support for our police and our first responders. Many years ago, I was, again, coming from a family of police, I was really upset by what was happening in our country as far as the anti-police movement and the killings of innocent individuals by police. So what I did was I enrolled in the Bethlehem Police Citizens Academy because I wanted to get a better feel for what it was like to be a policeman in this day and age. I grew up with the police chief. I have family members of policemen, but I didn't know what is a policeman in the city of Bethlehem really going through today. So I took that initiative as another indicator of my support for the police, so I could wrap my head around what it's like to be a policeman, a policewoman in this city, and what I could do to support them better. And I think that really needs to be noted. Many council members, including myself, have been meeting with the police and different department heads and community groups since June to try to look at ways that we can improve the quality of the services by police within our city, and most importantly, the quality of training and preparedness of the police within our city. So again, that's another indication of our concern for the police and the community that the police are serving. The biggest concern I have with this whole situation is the falsehoods that have been circulated by individuals and groups such as the Lehigh Valley Good Neighbors Alliance. They have instilled fear needlessly in our community at a time when we should be supportive and encouraging of others, especially those that are most vulnerable, like the elderly, crime victims, those with PTSD, etc. Really good neighbors don't incite fear, but rather they support and lift their neighbors up. Finally, I'm going to say this again. I can speak from personal experience. From the time I was born until I was 21 years old, I lived with the police chief. I saw my father get hurt and have a heart attack in the line of duty and almost die when I was 10 years old. I saw the stress that that job took on him, and I saw him go to an early grave because of the stress of his job. So quite frankly, I am appalled, I am angered by the individuals and the groups that try to say, I and my fellow councilmen do not support the police. My father was a police chief, and quite frankly, I feel like you are spitting on his grave by saying, I do not support police. You can insult me, you can attack me personally, but don't attack my family, and that's what you are doing. Not only was my father a police chief, God rest his soul, I have three nephews who have been and continue to be active as police. My nephew retired after 20 plus years as a state policeman. My other nephew is actively a detective in a city the size of Bethlehem. And my other nephew is on the SWAT team at the U.S. Capitol in D.C. I see the sacrifices they make every day to protect citizens like us. And I have nothing but complete respect, love, and admiration for them. So, in summary, finally, I would just ask that the individuals and groups that are spreading these falsehoods, please consider the ramifications of your action. The one thing that is most upsetting is you are instilling fear needlessly in our innocent citizens of our city, and I really would appreciate it if that would stop. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Kramsey-Smith. Any other new business from members of council? Mr. Callahan, then Ms. Negron.
Thank you, President Walter. I agree with a lot of the comments that Councilwoman Grace Kramsey-Smith said. I think you know, all of us agree that you know, when the very unfortunate deaths of those individuals over the summer by at the hands of the police departments in other cities, and you know, I mean, let's be honest, it, you know, in some of those cases, I believe it was murder, and I think that the district attorneys in those jurisdictions and states are taking a lot of those police officers to a trial for a murder. So, and I, you know, I'm totally supportive of the police in our city, but I also understand why the Black Lives Matter movement came up. I also supported that movement. I was at several rallies and marches during that time. But I think, I don't know the groups that you're talking about, but I will tell you this, that I think all of us heard after the July 7th meeting, when a lot of people spoke on both sides of the issue, but I think that there were obviously some citizens in the city and residents in the city that were concerned at some of the comments that were made at that July 7th meeting. You know, President Waldron is correct with his comments earlier tonight that no one on council right now is making any amendments to defund the police department. But that was, let's be honest, that was definitely not the case at the July 7th meeting. I mean, here are some of the comments that were made at that meeting. We demand the defunding, dismantling, and abolition of the Bethlehem Police Department. These were callers and people that spoke at that meeting. We are protesting the very existence of the police. There needs to be complete dismantling of the police as it stands. Another comment, we are not asking for better relationships between the cops and the community. You need to defund the police department. Another comment, you are asking the community to form a relationship with the Bethlehem Police Department, an evil and inanimate system. So, you know, based on those comments that were made at that meeting, and then following there were some comments made by council member Reynolds that said after that, I have this, and this is a quote, I have the same goals as a lot of what has been said tonight. That was my idea behind my resolution for community engagement initiative. It's designed to create public pressure to change the city and our police department. That was a direct quote from Councilman Reynolds. This is a direct quote from Dr. Van Wert. You were heard tonight. I didn't understand what defund the police meant. Our power of the budget is huge here. We start our budget talks in the fall, and we are the people who approve the police budget. If we're going to have a meaningful change, and that includes how we budget the money for the police department, that's got to start happening now. Those are the comments that were made, and I think that's where that's the genesis of some of the phone calls that were coming in tonight. I don't know about any threats or any other, and I apologize, to Ms. Ramsey Smith if anybody attacked her, but I think that was the genesis of the concern that a lot of the people that called in tonight felt, hey, there were some pretty radical comments made at that July 7th meeting, and there were some comments made by council members that backed up that and backed up those comments. So, I'm just quoting from the record. That's all. And I think that's where the genesis of it was. Nobody should be inciting, any type of violence against anybody or any type of fear or to break people apart. Our police, we're talking about the Bethlehem Police Department. We're not talking about some police department in Wisconsin or Minnesota or down in Florida or Washington, D.C. or New York. Our police department hasn't had any really issues to the HERCO, settlement. And that was because of the national accreditation program that we had to go through. So the comments that I heard that people had called my house, they were very concerned about some of the comments made by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert after the comments that were made at that meeting. I think that's where the genesis came from. I'm sure Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert can speak for themselves now, but those were direct quotes from the minutes of the city council meeting. So that's what I think that's what their concern was. So I just wanted on the record that those comments were made by those two individuals. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure they can speak for themselves, but Mr. Callahan, you're doing a really good job speaking for them. And I think you're picking and choosing different quotes and taking things out of context, which isn't fair to the speakers, both who called in as well as your fellow council members, when you're mixing and matching different quotes from callers and council members that may or may not have anything to do with each other. But if you're reading off a sheet of paper, you can make quotes out of context look pretty damning. And I think that's exactly what you're doing right now, inciting a lot of the rhetoric that's been going on.
I'm speaking,
Mr. Callahan. You had your opportunity. Everyone, you have
any questions about the comments?
Everyone, let you speak, Mr. Callahan.
They can go into the minutes and the videotapes of that meeting and watch the context themselves.
Why do you think it's appropriate to jump in when someone else is talking? Everyone, let you speak. And I'm sure they have things to say.
Your question. I'm sorry.
You weren't answering my question. You were jumping in. Everyone, you had an opportunity to speak, and now I think everyone else might want to respond to that in order to help clear the record. Because
I was just responding to your comments, Mr. Walden.
After a lot of the rhetoric that has been going on and a lot of the emails that we've been getting, I think we've got a few dozen, and the Facebook posts that have been circulating, there's been a lot of misinformation and a lot of quotes being taken out of context. And I've had an opportunity to correspond with a few people who have emailed in and let them know what the intentions of City Council are. And they thanked me for clarifying the record and said that they were misinformed because they had heard much of the same thing that you're saying right now, which is, in its intent to try to separate you from the rest of your fellow council members as if you're the only one who's standing up for the police department, when clearly everyone in this council supports the police department. There's no proposals, there's no ordinances to defund, as I stated at the beginning of the meeting. I imagine that the police department budget will pass 7-0, which is an increase from the 2020 budget, and I don't think anyone on council has any indication of defunding the police department, but supporting it 100%.
Mr. Reynolds, I think what happened was that in the following city council meeting, there was a lot of pushback at that time. If you go back and you look at that meeting on July 7th, I was the only one at that time. I'm not trying to differentiate myself from any council members. I said very plainly at the very beginning of that, we are not defunding the police department. That was very clear. That's the exact quote that I had. And that was the quote that I made that night.
And I think what happened was after the next council meeting came to us, there was a lot of pushback, and I think that those council members had a reprioritization of their thoughts, and because I think their thoughts were at that time too. I mean, Dr. Van Wert's comments were very clear. You know, it's the power of the budget. I didn't understand what the fund department meant. Our power of the budget is huge here. We started a budget talks in the fall, and we are the people who approve the police budget. If we're going to have meaningful change, and that includes how we budget the money for the police, that's got to start happening now. That's a direct quote. So I'm not putting any words in anybody's mouth, and anybody that, you know, that thinks the context is wrong, please go and check the July 7th comments or the July 7th video. Mr. Reynolds' comments started minute 15 or an hour and 15, 35.
Mr. Callahan, do you want to give your fellow council members an opportunity to respond to that?
I'm done in 5 seconds. Thank you. And then, Ms. Van Wert's comments begin at 2 hours and 7 minutes and 24 seconds, and you can judge for yourself on the context. Thank you.
Mr. Reynolds?
Thank you. I do appreciate Mr. Callahan's comments, because I think we all, the other six of us probably have a better idea of where some of this big controversy came from and how it got pushed to this point. And I know in my own conversations with the other members of City Council in the past couple of days, I think we all had our suspicion, and I think that's been clear now. I would just say that, you know, my comments... And Mr. Walsh, and I appreciate your comments, and I appreciate Ms. Ramsey-Smith's comments, is that I would say that if you go back to that meeting, and this is like, it's like a Trump tactic to somehow like pick and choose and say one caller called in at 7:15 and said this, and then somebody said something else 2 hours later. Like, that's right out of like the Trumpian playbook about how to try to have these conversations. And a lot of things that were said that night, and I know when Ms. Cramsey-Smith and I brought forward our community engagement initiative, that the idea was that a lot of people are feeling pain right now. And we are trying to hear different people's perspectives. And a lot of the comments that night, some we would agree with, some we would disagree with. But when you say something like I did, like you agree with the priorities of what a lot of the speakers have said, you go back and you listen to people talk about systemic racism, and you go back and hear people talk about their different perspective on how they feel about different things in society. It was clear then, and it's clear now from looking across the country and even these conversations, that there are people that want to be heard and their feelings want to be heard. And just because if you have 15, 20 people that speak and say different things, and then somebody says, I agree with a lot of what was said tonight, you do not have to own every comment that somebody made. But at the same time, the conversation that's been going on in this country is about what systemic racism is, about how do we build stronger bonds within our community, how do we support mental health, how do we get there. Now, obviously, the devil is always in the details as far as whether or not those things happen at the federal level, the state level, the local level, and so on and so forth. But a lot of it comes down to whether or not we have an understanding that different people have different perspectives. I had a conversation today with a police officer who called me, and he was talking to me about a couple situations that came up in the past couple of weeks that where, you know, he felt as if it was a difficult thing for him to do the right thing because the infrastructure of what was involved in the system just wasn't there. And it wasn't a negative conversation, it was just simply his perspective. And a lot of what we've been talking about over the past 6 months is not low information, not slogans, not how do we make people look bad or how do we hope that other people don't pay attention to the whole conversation, but how do we move past that for the betterment of society? And that's what the Community Engagement Initiative was about. That's what a lot of these conversations have been about. And I really appreciate the comments of Ms. Cramsey-Smith and Mr. Waldron, But like I said before, it doesn't do anybody any good to talk about these issues as far as, like, you have a four-hour meeting and then somebody says, oh, they agree with this and they don't agree with that and so on and so forth. Like, that's not a serious way to look at these issues. Thank you, Mr. Waldron.
Ms. Negron, did you want to make a comment?
Yes, I'm very upset right now. I actually have a few comments about different topics that I want to talk about, but I want to start by saying thank you to Councilman Reynolds and more so thank you to Councilwoman Ray Smith. Thank you for sharing your words. Thank you for calling the group that is spreading fear, especially among our elderly. You know, we're getting emails from elderly that are scared because they are spreading lies. And, you know, apparently we know who's the chair of that Lehigh Valley Good Neighborhood Alliance now. So I am very upset because this is not fair. And I will do to speak, you know, as a woman of color that have been hurting by everything that's happening throughout our nation, said something that I said before. I work for the city of Allentown, Wheaton City Initiative. I was the neighborhood coordinator. I served on the Governor Randall on one of his advisory council on the Defensive and Commission on Crime and Delinquency. I revised grant the police department, 20 police departments across the Commonwealth apply for funding for the police departments to make it better. And I revised those grants and I approved 16 police departments grants. I did that for 5 years because I know and I learned because we visited those municipalities. We took a look at those police departments. We knew what worked. We knew what didn't work. That's what I did for freaking 5 years. And I know that we can do better and I know how to do it better. So it is appalling to me, just like Councilwoman Ray Smith said, that somebody would just come up and say, this is what they're doing. You know, it is wrong. Stop the lies. That is wrong. You know, I am really happy we have a brand new chief of police. I'm very proud of her. And I know that under her leadership, we're going to do a whole lot better. But I also want to talk about some things that people are confused about. And that is the role that we have as members of council. First of all, you want to fire me? Go ahead. I don't pay my rights and fees with the $185 check that I get from city council. And I spend hours, 4 hours that I spend on my real job, the one that pay for my rights and fees that I do for here for city council. So you have to stop threatening for something that has no value, okay? Wake up. You wake up and smell the coffee. It is wrong. Something else that you need to understand is the city has some roles, and some of you mentioned it when you call. We have some roles as members of council. The city has some roles and services that we need to provide. We cannot just eliminate 50 police officers and hire 50 caseworkers. Doesn't work like that. We're not in the caseworker businesses, okay? It doesn't work like that. I am glad that I saw the Health Bureau and the police department working together and allocating some money from case management. I am glad, and I had a conversation with Pine Group counseling services because they are doing work similar to that in the Allentown, city of Allentown. And now they're even thinking about the police department, Allentown Police Department, allocating extra money to actually maybe even have four caseworkers working with them. But you need to also understand that Northampton County and even Lehigh County have a great crisis program. I sent an email, I had conversations with the mayor and with Chief Codd, and I sent it to Robert. I hope Robert sent it to all of you. But we have the county, Northampton County, has an 610-829 help. Anybody that is going through mental health treatment in Northampton County, they know that number. The parents know that number. The significant other know that number. And when their loved ones are in crisis, they don't call 911. They call 610-829 help. Because a caseworker will go to their home and will help them out. And will 302 if they need to 302. There are systems in places that we have, and I did a conversation with the county. We need to do a better job sharing this information with members of our community, because unless you are already in that system, getting mental health treatment to the county, you don't know about it. Something else that the county has been doing since 2015, it's an incredible workshop, 6-hour training that includes de-escalation for individuals that had a mental health crisis. And they do that with our police department. They've been doing it, and they will continue. They do this workshop 3 times a year, a 6-hour, incredible, powerful training. I asked Robert to please share this email that I share with Mayor and with Chief Codd to the members of council. I was hoping you were going to get it before the meeting, but I apologize you didn't. It's a lot of good information that people that are not involved in the system won't know. But we do have a great program, both in Northampton and Lehigh County, with crisis 24/7. You just call 678-29-HELP, and a caseworker will be talking to you. And if you need to go to the hospital, they will call an ambulance and they will take you to the hospital. If you need to be 302, they will 302. We have a great service. We don't need to reinvent the wheel for something that the city is not meant to do. That is what the county human services do. And it is a great program. So I am going to continue providing this information with individuals that don't know it, so they can understand that there's a role for mental health that is needed, drug and alcohol, mental health. And the same thing with the mental health court and the drug court. You know, in Northampton County, and yet county is trying to do this too. Individuals that are being arrested but have a mental, is directly related to mental health or drug abuse, they don't go to a regular court. They go to mental health court. They go to drug and alcohol court. And they get treatment according to the need that they have. You know, and perhaps because of the training that are in place, perhaps because of the great work the counties are doing with mental health, we haven't had issues like we have seen across the nation with people of color and police. But we do have a lot of work to do. I am very hopeful, and I've been working directly with Chief Codd in programs and services that we can implement, continue, especially training, because we need to continue that. But it is, you know, again, I am just really appalled at the fact that some individual took it upon himself to take notes and verse and words and scare half of the city. That is ridiculous. It has to stop. It just has to stop. I also want to talk about the storm collection, storm water collection and management ordinance that we have today. Dr. Van Wert said something that I think is really important. I tried to raise my hands before the vote, but I didn't have a chance to speak. I think that is a great program. I think it's a great idea that if we are not at least, I mean, I hope that they try to make the differences in sizes according to the individuals and to the incomes, because it's the fair, the right thing to do. But if that is not possible to be done, then we will have money, because like Dr. Van Wert said, we always have money left over at every line item in budgets. And we can then make it a retroactive that we can give back some relief for those families that are low income. That would be the right thing to do. So I am hoping that the administration, if they are not able to do what they should have done at the beginning, at least they take her advice into consideration. And that's something that would be written and added to this, amended to this ordinance as we have it for the vote in 2 weeks. Because I understand this is important. I understand we have to do it. And I understand it's almost like we just have to do it. This is the reality we are at. And it has to be done. But it has to be fair. And I uphold that was not taken into consideration. You know, some people are making 6-digit salaries, I guess. And, oh, it's only $60. Well, you know, it is not the same for everybody. There's a lot of people struggling out there. And $60, it could be the food for a whole week of that family. So we just need it, you know, it's important. It needs to be considered. Something else that I'm really concerned is the pension issues. The last few times that we talked about the budget, you know, we're clear that every year it's going to be increasing, and the pension is a big part of it. It keeps on growing, just like the salaries. And by the way, we really need to take a closer look at the rise of salaries across the board, because I saw increases of, and I think there's the caller that talked about it today, you know, some increases are 3,000 and some are 11,000. And then we say when everybody retired, thank you for your service. What service? You know, you're getting paid more than most of your constituents ever will see. it's outrageous. We really need to take a look at that, because, and just like with overtime, I know that during COVID we put a freeze, no overtime unless extremely necessary. Well, you know, we should keep that freeze of overtime for another year, because this is outrageous. Another issue that I heard so many nonprofit organizations, smaller nonprofit organizations, the last couple of years, is the requirement. And I sat down with Jody Evans and I talked about it. The requirement of having police present a nonprofit organization event in a city property and has wine or beer. Now they require to have a police officer. And don't get me wrong, when it's music fest, we need to have police presence. And I think another caller talked about it. I organized the Puerto Rican parade and festival for 10 years. And trust me, I always wanted to have police officers there. And as a matter of fact, I even hired our own private security company, aside from the police, because I wanted to make sure it was a safe event. And for 10 years, it went completely beautifully, with no accidents, with no incidents. It was a fun event, family event, beer all over and police in between, and everybody has fun, and it's needed. But when you're talking about a small event, the Rose Garden wants to have wine and a midri, and they're gonna have to hire a police officer, like, really? And how about Touchstone Theater? I had them last year with the Unbound Festival, and this year too. And in order to keep social distancing, they did it outside this year. And I just asked, you know, they say, can we gonna have wine and beer? Can we go to the park? Can the individuals walk to, let's say, the Greenway or the park next door? So they can keep social distance and having their wine or the beer. Oh, no, 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 no. You need to hire a police officer if you're gonna have wine and beer in a city park. Really? Like, really? I go there, I have a glass of wine and 3 bottles of water. Anybody my age or older, that's exactly what we're gonna do. You know, not even 150 people. And you're requiring a small nonprofit organization to take money to hire a police officer because they're gonna have wine and beer, which is what they're gonna make an extra couple of bucks for their organization. To do, by the way, community development, which is something that the city should be leading. And we have the nonprofit organizations among our community doing the community development. And now we're going to make them harder on them to do so. And then, you know, when I had that conversation with Eric Evans, he said, you know, Olga, that is over time, that is not the taxpayers' money. Well, this nonprofit organization don't have that kind of money. That is why they want to sell beer and wine, so they can make a couple of bucks more. And not only that, once that number, once that overtime has been set in there, let's go to the pension. The pension that we were talking at the beginning that keeps on growing and growing, well, go right ahead, find another way to give some overtime to all employees so the pension keeps on growing. That's taxpayer money. And you're not even thinking about it. You are not allowing small nonprofits to thrive, to do some of the work that the city should be doing, because it's community development, and you're just making it harder on them to do so. And while doing that, increasing the pension that we, the taxpayer, have to pay. So we really need to rethink that overtime that is happening. And just like we decided that this year, there's going to be across the board no overtime because of money, let's do the same. Let's keep that a little longer. Because between those salaries ranking up 11,000-15,000 every year to the overtime, I don't know what we're gonna do. I mean, I don't know where we're going with this. We really have to keep an eye on this. And I ask the administration to reconsider the work that the smaller nonprofits are doing, whether it's, you know, a jazz festival at the Ice House, some wine testing at the Rose Garden, or using of the Greenway with some wine. A bunch of hippies, with all due respect, me included. I know Jack like that. You know, having a glass of wine and you're gonna need a police officer in there just in case Jack or Olga get out of big trouble after that one glass of wine. You know, we really have to think about what we're doing. Ask the administration, Mr. Donches, I know you're here and listening, to rethink how we are treating our smaller nonprofit as they do community development among us and are trying to make a couple of bucks here and there. We can keep it safe. If they're having an event, they're not even having 300 people in it. Come on, let's lay back a little bit and give them a break. I think that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Dr. Van Wert?
Thank you very much. First, I wanted to say thank you to most of my fellow council members for their words tonight, which are to promote healing and unity, particularly Grace Cramsey Smith with her touching words about her family experience and the dichotomy that is a good council member, which is you can do both things at once. And indeed, I think that is the definition of a good council member, is being able to do both things at once, to see both sides of a coin. Normally, I don't respond to Mr. Callahan's flame-throwing tactics because it just adds fuel to the napalm. But I'm just outraged at this behavior from the Lehigh Valley Good Neighbors Alliance and its tactics, as well as Mr. Callahan driving a wedge that doesn't exist in between council members and causing such pain and fear among our fellow citizens. I find the height of irresponsibility especially galling because it's for naked political ambition. His words have been divisive, inflammatory, self-serving, and distorted. And I'm so disappointed that this is the tactic to take when what we need after such a bruising political year is unity. And to find someone using a painful, painful topic for their own gain, I find reprehensible and I'm embarrassed. I am willing to talk to any council member or any citizen who has questions about anything I feel or anything I said, but for him to take words and distort them, I find reprehensible. That's all I have to say tonight. Thank you, Mr. Waldron.
Mr. Claw?
Thank you, President Waldron. Just touching on a couple things that were already brought up by a lot of the other members of council. What I heard a lot of tonight was a lot of fear, but not a lot of understanding. Councilwoman Van Wert had just said about perspectives, and as council members, we're tasked with looking at things from the different call, from everybody who calls in, and understanding that life looks a lot different depending on what lens you're looking at it from. So, and this heightened sense of fear that we heard tonight, and going back to some of the emails that we got, where I had a chance to respond to, not all of them, but a few, because some of the individuals who reached out to us, I know, just from virtue of went to school with their children, or worked with their cousin, or something like that. So, would email them and ask, well, where's this coming from? Or what? How much of this are you aware of? Or what's driving some of this? To kind of educate myself in it. And this idea that this nefarious, clandestine undermining of our police department, and beyond our police department, our city's sense of feeling safe in our residents' own homes and things like that, and drumming up the sense that looming around the corner is us, the city council, with this plot to kind of push Bethlehem over a cliff into chaos. And we hear these kind of anecdotal notions of other cities and what's going on. And to be upfront, I don't read a ton about other cities, just given the nature of my day job in Bethlehem. I try to stay as informed as I can to us and locally. But this idea that if it weren't for council being called out, that we were ready to unplug the energy of Bethlehem, or that conversations going back to over the summer, where we try to understand where people were coming from, that there's a lot of people, and we know this from the calls of the last 6 months, who feel like they're walking around with targets on their backs, whether real or perceived. There are people who feel, we heard tonight, some people who say they can't call the police. Then on the other end of the spectrum, you have people who feel that they can't go to bed at night because they don't know if there's going to be someone to call if they need help. Or to the brave men and women who actually punch a clock every day and put on a badge, feeling that they're not being supported, or that they are walking around with a target on their back, which is not an easy feeling for anyone going to work every day, and things like that. So a lot of this fear, but not a lot of understanding. and we're talking about conversations that happened 5 months ago. Something else that happened a lot more recently was we all lauded an appointment that came before us with our new chief of police, Chief Cott, that passed unanimously without question. Not only did everyone vote in favor of Chief Cott, everyone sung her praise, justly so, given her experience in the department, given her education, which is unmatched, and I think as Councilwoman Negron said, we look forward to seeing what Chief Cott can do. She was thrust into this position in a difficult time, not only because of COVID-19, everything being online, the talks about policing, but really right in the beginning or shaping up to start a budget season, which we know as council members and city administration knows is requires a lot of attention for the nuance that goes in to all that. And for her to come into that position during budget season provided some challenges. And I know I had alluded to at previous council meetings using the public safety committee, and it'll be after the new year out of the request of the administration. And I respected that given the constraints of budget season, that we should have conversations about hiring practices within the police department, promotions within the police department, what police responses look like, what are policies that have to do with police responses. There's a lot of merits to looking at this. I don't want to diminish anyone who thinks that, anyone who's saying that we shouldn't be looking at it. I agree. Unfortunately, the timing is what it is. I know some people aren't happy with that, and I understand. Again, I understand where people are coming from with that, and I do want us to look at that and also visit the pilot program with the Health Bureau that Chief Cott and Mrs. Wenrich and other people within the city are trying to put together and do things, institute new programs such as that pilot program, and have us talk about how effective they are. Do we grow it? What can we do? What do we change? I think I explicitly said at a budget hearing that we were, that previous to tonight, previous to this fury of emails, that we had already established at a budget hearing we were not taking any positions away from the police department. Councilman Waldron had said he asked for amendments by yesterday. They never came in to change anything with the police department. These conversations are going to continue to happen. Councilwoman Negron talked about pensions. We've brought that up before. Now, if we want to have these robust services like the police department, they're not free, and there is a cost of doing business associated with that. So when we talk about maintaining our policing levels, talk about incremental tax increases and things like that, sometimes you can't have one without the other. And it's a matter of understanding comprehensively how we operate a city, what services we're tasked with providing, what goes into that, where do we get our money from? And I invite, as other members of council had already, anyone interested in learning anything or not, tune in. Don't just take it from a Facebook post. Get it from the source. Tune into a council meeting. And I know they could be long. Email somebody and say, hey, I'm reading this on Facebook. Can you elaborate? Instead, we're getting emails with people telling us not to do something that we have not had discussions to do. That's based on, and I know there's some quotes being pulled from here and there and taken from 5 months ago. I won't speak for anybody other than it's just a matter of understanding, knowing where we are today, what we're actually voting on, what people like Chief Cott, members of the administration, members of council are doing, providing understanding to at least acknowledging the people who think different than you, not that they're trying to plunge Bethlehem into an anarchist state, but they want to look at different ways to accomplish certain goals. And that's not going to happen overnight. Much to the chagrin of others, too. These things don't happen with the flick of a switch. But I, as I know my colleagues, are willing to keep having these conversations. I look forward to after the new year addressing some of the things I talked about as related to Chief Cott and some of the practices of the department, and really just hope that we, as a council, outside of some of the other forces that be in the community or social media, to just continue to offer understanding of each other, of the different perspectives, and really try to diminish fears out there, because it doesn't feel good for any of us to know that those who turn to us to make good decisions, to think that we are somehow behind closed doors in the shadows, plotting to turn Bethlehem into some kind of chaotic city. city, which there's just nothing to support that. So I appreciate the words that all the members of council spoke before me. Thank you.
Mr. Callahan?
Thank you, President Watt. I agree with some of the comments that Mr. Colon and Grace Smith said tonight, as far as having an empathy and being able to see things from both sides of the issue. All I was saying, I don't know any of the callers that called in. I don't know why anybody thinks I didn't even do it. I get blamed for everything, but if you want to blame me for that, you may. I had nothing to do with it. I don't even know anybody who called in. I'm just trying to correct the record, because and I encourage everybody, don't listen to the quotes that I read from the minutes of the meeting. Go look at, I encourage all the residents, go look at the July 7th video of the meeting, and you make up your own decision. I'm not putting any words in anybody's mouth. Go look at the meeting minutes. Go watch it. And I think when you watch it, you'll have a pretty good understanding of where that meeting was going. It wasn't until after that meeting, I think it was the second meeting or the first meeting in August, when it was pushed back and everybody kind of took a step back from some of their comments at the July 7th meeting. That's all I'm saying. You know, for everybody to pretend like there wasn't those comments made, it's very disingenuous. Again, I encourage everybody, go look at the July 7th city council meeting and you make up your own mind. Have there not been the pushback from the community? And again, I don't know anybody that called tonight. I don't know anybody that called in the August meeting and had the pushback. But I think had there not been the pushback, I think some of the more liberal people on our council might have gotten away, because I think some of them are a little more influential on council than others. That's all I'm saying, you know. And I think when it comes to our police safety, I think some of the comments that those two council members made that night were not welcome. So thank you.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Thank you. I just want to say thank you to everybody for your supportive comments, and everyone for all your comments. I concur with most everyone. These are very difficult subjects, and obviously for me, the systemic racism and support or lack of for the police are very emotional issues for me. But I think that it's important that we keep in mind that in June and July and August and thereafter, many of us on council, again, like I stated, we verbalize and emphasize our support for what people of color have been going through and what they continue to go through, and the fact that there is systemic racism. And most importantly, and I think that, again, it's important for all of us to remember that, especially Councilman Callahan, that right now, and since then, no one is proposing doing any change in the budget for the police. And that is the bottom line. And I think if we continue to try to rehash what was said at those meetings, and there was nothing wrong with what was said at those meetings in my mind, because again, we were, like I said, it's not mutually exclusive to support police and also empathize and sympathize with what people of color have and continue to go through. So the bottom line is, right now, no one is looking to defund the police or, most importantly, eliminate the police. And the rhetoric that is being said even now just feeds into the irrational falsehoods of the individuals and the groups that are perpetuating the needless fear in our community, in our innocent citizens. And I think that it is vital that we all work together to dispel that, because we are here to represent the citizens of this community, and we need to make sure that they are safe and they are free from fear and needless anxiety. And we need to do that together and not feed into the irrational falsehoods of those that have, some of the people that were calling in and some of the, and the people in that group, Lehigh Valley Good Neighbor Alliance or whatever it is. That's the bottom line. Thank you.
Any other new business from members of the council this evening? Mr. Reynolds?
Yeah, I just want to add, as I said before, is I think that when we look at the depth of these issues, and when you look at the depth of these issues as they're talked about across the country, Like, we should be better than, and well, you know, most of us are. We should be better than talking about these issues with this type of, like, reactionary emotion that doesn't involve the nuance that the situations deserve. And I think that what most people in City Council are trying to do, as has been stated, is understand that, like, more than one perspective here is okay. And that's what our job is. Like, two things can be true at the same time. But, and I've said this before, and, you know, I continue to say it's, you know, in many ways, his behavior is sad and embarrassing. But I look at the fact that if Mr. Waldron or somebody else has a comment that one of us disagrees with, there's a way for us to disagree with that with still understanding that what people want here is what's best for the city of Bethlehem. And also having empathy for other people in city council and what they're going through throughout the pandemic. And I'll just give one example here. And I mean, Dr. Van Wert has been working through the pandemic as a doctor. And every time I talk to her, she's exhausted. Grace Ramsey Smith has been working as a guidance counselor through this and is exhausted about this. I talked to Olga today about the struggles that she's been facing with the pandemic. And I feel the same way about, you know, Mr. Waldron, Mr. Clove. We've had similar conversations, and I see it with my own wife, who is a physician. It's like people are stressed out right now, and they're tired, and they're exhausted. And that's just because of the pandemic, let alone these deep, deep societal issues that we need to be better than just reactionary, emotional, cut and paste, try to prove that we're better than this person because of this comment, things like that. These issues didn't get here by, you know, thoughtful processing, and that's what we need to do. That's what our job is. Our job is to come together and try to find ways to respond to these with nuance and understanding that our job is to balance perspectives. Our job is to understand that there is a perspective of people that serve us that deserves to be heard, and also a perspective of people that if they tell us their feelings, that they fear the police or whatever, we might not need to agree with them. That might not be our experience, but it's our job as, and I believe Mr. Clone said this, to balance this together. The level of dialogue here just should be higher. And, you know, I'm disappointed too, and I guess I would end with this, is that, you know, I think, you know, Councilman Cramsey Smith, I think she hit it on the head as far as the need to balance our feelings on these issues from different perspectives. And I think that was a heartfelt speech that, you know, we all could relate to. And I just think it's unfortunate that this period of new business got taken in a different direction. But I do appreciate the comments of Mr. Waldron and Ms. Cramsey Smith, Ms. Negron and Dr. Van Wert, Mr. Cologne, because I think that they're all right on. Thank you.
Mr. Callahan?
No, I just got a quick comment. Mr. Reynolds, I agree with you about the reactionary emotional responses. I think if you look at my comments after those comments were made, I plainly said right away, immediately, we are not defunding the police department. Our police department is not those police departments in those other states and cities. And I think my point is that some of you reacted, as Mr. Reynolds just stated, very reactionary and emotional responses to what was being said that night instead of thinking through the process. I stated right away, we're not defunding the police department. Those were not the comments made by yourself, Dr. Van Wert. And that's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but everybody's trying to backwalk this like there was no, that these comments weren't made, and they clearly were made. And I felt, as you just stated, I felt they were reactionary and emotional responses from you. So with that, if anybody is offended by me quoting minutes from the city council meeting, I apologize. But I encourage any city residents, again, if you want to go look at it for yourself, go watch the July 7th meeting. Thank you.
Anything else this evening? Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.